This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're going to chat with the owner of a local tree company to get some tips on how to prepare our yards and the trees near our homes for rainy season, summer, and severe storms. But first, with the 2019 hurricane season fast approaching, it's time for people to get ready for real. While we had a mild season here in Southwest Florida last year, the year before, Hurricane Irma reminded Southwest Floridians the need to properly prepare is very real. I'm joined in studio today by Jeff Huffman. He is the director of the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. Jeff's name is probably familiar to many WGCU listeners, as he and his team spent the hours on the air with us from their studio in Gainesville as we went through landfall of the biggest hurricane to hit Southwest Florida since 1960. He's traveling around the state visiting member stations to get a sense of how they plan to handle the upcoming hurricane season with coverage and collaboration. Jeff, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Good afternoon, Julie. It's nice to be here.
Good to have you in person, too. And as always, we invite you to join our conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So for starters, talk a little bit about the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network.
Yeah, it was founded in 2013. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, we had many, many years without a hurricane here in Florida, so we really didn't quite understand its impact or its effect on the hurricane, situation in Florida until we had, of course, some Matthew. Matthew was the first, and Hermine were the first two storms 3 years ago Matthew, of course, went up the East Coast. But it's a collaboration among all the stations in Florida, the public media stations, funded in part by the state of Florida, where we provide the weather information ahead of a storm and during a storm to support what you do here at WGCU so that your team and your reporters and you can help tell the human sides of these stories and the information that's so critical locally. So we just pretty much offer more of a backbone to NPR and to PBS for storm coverage.
Well, I think it's great because we were up in Gainesville just a couple weeks ago. Not everybody at the station, but I was up there and we were talking about the importance and the mission of what public radio does. We're here to serve the public. That's what we do.
Yes.
And having a team of meteorologists help walk us through severe storms is really critically an important aspect of what we do.
It's an enormous task to try to handle the meteorology of an incoming hurricane along with the news stories, the human interest stories, how we all prepare. So we try to do all the weather as we can, with our team. We now have four in Gainesville.
And they're not just weather buffs. They're meteorologists.
No, correct. Correct.
Yeah.
All certified. And from when this first wave develops in Africa or off the coast of Africa, all the way to, of course, when it potentially makes landfall, and it's like I said, it's a partnership. So you'll hear our voices for a few minutes, and then we'll hear you and your team's voices helping us through. And your point about public service is so true. We've had several instances lately, Irma and Michael especially, where public radio in many cases for several hours during or after the storm was the only thing on the air to help people through some of the most challenging life situations.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool because it's public radio too, so you know you're getting real stuff.
Right.
Nothing's
right.
Getting sensationalized.
That's
or
correct.
Blown out of proportion. So so you have four meteorologists now. You added two people this year.
Yes, we did, because we now also partner with stations. I think you're going to talk about South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina.
That's kind of, yeah, we're able to partner with some of our public media stations in South Carolina as well. So we're really thankful for that. We're in the midst of training them up and getting them ready. We have been, just like we ask our listeners to do, preparing for the season. I mean, we're rehearsing. It has to be muscle memory for us. So we're rehearsing storms and how to cover them. Getting ready. So I encourage our listeners to do the same.
Yeah, because you don't really have a whole lot of time to do planning.
19 days until the season officially starts.
Exactly, exactly. So South Carolina is part of the emergency network now, too.
That's correct.
How many stations does that make it in total?
Oh,
that's okay. It doesn't have to be precise.
Well, so South Carolina is a group of stations that are all based in Columbia, and then they have the networks that are the different affiliates. I think total now we're over 20 radio stations. Between Florida and South Carolina.
So how closely do you work with the National Hurricane Center?
Oh, I mean, what's nice about this, Julie, is that we're not necessarily always treated like media, even though we are reporting as media partners, right? Because we're public service, and we kind of, I guess, we're almost cut from the same cloth in terms of the funding and stuff like that. We help, you know, we're seen as partners, so we have a very close relationship with the National Hurricane Center. We really appreciate that, and we appreciate what they do. I mean, it's unbelievable the progress that's been made in terms of messaging. It really is, especially with storm surge, and that's been their focus for the last 3, 4, 5 years with the new storm surge inundation. I know it's a hot topic around here because of how Irma, you know, came about and how the storm surge came with Irma, but it's really incredible. And so we partner with them. We help them with getting the message out, of course. Mm-hmm. And we even hope to in the future look at doing some research with them to better understand how our listeners and TV viewers as well, anybody, understands the messaging that goes with hurricanes.
It's interesting you brought up storm surge because I'm wondering how much you have to think also outside of storm time about king tides with the erosion of some of our barrier islands.
Yeah, that's especially true over on the southeast side of Florida as well. It's something that, you know, it's not deemed as an emergency. I mean, it's not something that happens like immediately, or it's not related to a storm, but it's certainly
it's predictable with the moon, right?
Yeah, it is predictable, and it is certainly something that is a big topic as well that we have to keep an eye on from time to time. The thing, you know, also we're not just hurricane weather information. You know, we've got severe thunderstorms that happen. In fact, that's happening right now in Central Florida. So we provide support to stations and to audiences around Florida for severe weather, winter weather. If you do get that down here a little bit,
not so much. Yeah. Well, frost watches occasionally. Yeah. But it's interesting, before we were getting ready to go on the air, you're watching these storms up in Central. And I think people maybe take for granted – well, a lot of people in our area, for example, are from the Midwest, as are you and I.
Yes.
A lot of people may look at severe storms here that are not hurricane-related and not think they're quite as big of a deal, but they really kind of are. And one thing that you kept pointing out to me, which because, you know – that's not really a tornado.
Yeah, right.
It really is. But it's very concentrated and it can really do some damage.
Sure. I mean, we had just yesterday, I think it was, a tornado hit Dauphin Island, Alabama. We were watching that closely in case it came across to Pensacola. But these thunderstorms, and even the ones today, could produce an isolated tornado. Some Floridians, I must say, in South and Southwest Florida, don't quite understand how tornadoes work sometimes. They're very sudden. They're very quick. You have to know ahead of time that there's a chance for them and just be willing to act quickly if there is one. So yeah, we have to keep an eye on that as well. This is a, you know, this we're in the in between right now, the severe weather season and the rainy season. Mm-hmm. The tornado risk goes down some over the summer, unless you have a hurricane, and then you have tornadoes from that. But we're kind of coming out of severe weather season, moving into hurricane season.
Well, it's interesting because we got ourselves all prepared too, just in case there was severe weather that came through. You're always ready to hop on the air and be live from Gainesville, talking specifically about Southwest Florida, which is the thing that's really cool about this partnership.
Yeah, we even though we're in Gainesville. It's a storm center. We have 4 meteorologists. We have all the technology. We can provide that local storm tracking, when the cells are going to move there. Do you remember during Irma, we did that a lot, when the tornado warnings were, mm-hmm. where they were heading. So yeah, it's a local service. We just happen to team up with all the other stations. So.
It's really wonderful. Well, the storm's not well, and sometimes it is hitting every part of the state at once.
Irma was a good example. Yeah,
that was a tough one. Yeah. What got you interested in meteorology?
Well, a couple of life experiences at a young age. Family was impacted by a tornado at an early age. Also had a very close encounter with a lightning strike, and unfortunately, I was one of those idiots that drove through a flooded roadway once when I was young. So I have experienced significant amounts of difficult weather, and that kind of led to my passion since I was a kid. There are times at this job I have to pinch myself because I'm just doing what I love and hope to do it the rest of my life.
It's a pretty cool place to do it, too.
Florida, yes.
I mean, yeah. There's stuff going on here all the time.
There is.
It's a very unique situation. Tell me a little bit about the current outlook for the 2019 hurricane season.
Well, we have a weak El Nino that has developed. That's a warming of the Pacific water. A lot of folks do know what that means. It typically translates and correlates to to less activity in the tropical Atlantic Basin. The news from NOAA just a couple of days ago was that the El Nino is likely to continue through at least the early part of fall, which is the heart of hurricane season. I want our listeners to remember, though, that it doesn't really matter how many storms. We say that every year. It just kind of matters where they go, where they develop. And last year was an example of an unusual season where, if you remember, Irma came across the Atlantic for days and days and days and days. We knew it was coming. Here
we
comes.
We sat here wringing our handkerchiefs for, like, felt like forever.
Right. But Michael was a storm that only gave residents in the panhandle 2, maybe 3 days, if they were really paying attention, to prepare. That came right out of the, shot up right through the Western Caribbean. So this, I believe this will be another season where activity will develop in an unusual spot. It won't be in what we call the main development region, which is the central and eastern part of the Atlantic. We're going to have to look north of there, off near the Bahamas and the east side of the Bahamas. We're also going to have to look at the Gulf and the Western Caribbean closely. So you have to be prepared.
So when you first started talking about El Nino, mm-hmm. that's a warming of Pacific water.
Right. It creates.
I'm thinking of the globe here. That's way over there.
It is. It is. And it's the most studied weather phenomenon that affects global weather patterns. The Pacific Ocean is obviously quite large. So mm-hmm. water, believe it or not, controls a lot of our weather. Okay. In fact, it is the dominant force in the weather. So when you have warmer waters in the Pacific, the air rises a lot more. And thunderstorms, there's a lot more activity in the Pacific that creates stronger winds aloft. And those winds are carried from the Pacific into the Caribbean. And anytime you have strong winds aloft, hurricanes don't like that. They like to have calm conditions aloft for those clouds to billow up straight up and down. But when you have wind shear, what we call it.
It's a disruptor to those big
thunder. It can be a disruptor, yes. But, right? You can have times during the hurricane season, even though it's dubbed as a lower than normal season because of higher than normal wind shear, you can certainly have windows of opportunity that develop where a storm can make it through. So I want to caution everyone to you treat every hurricane season the same. You just never know.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. Are storms in general getting stronger, do you think, or more frequent?
We've always had – Michael was the fourth Category 5 hurricane officially to make landfall in the United States. So, and the last one was 1992. I think storms in general are maybe slowing down, I think, is a more credible way to put what maybe climate has had an influence on.
So they're not moving through quickly. They're just sitting there and dumping a ton of
– Yeah. There's some studies ongoing as to the motion of storms when they get closer and higher latitudes. They slow down a lot more. Also, some research is being done on the trajectory and the path that they're taking. And there's been some unusual swirlies out there in the Atlantic, where the storms loop around. And we've had a couple of unusual cases where they've hit deep down into Central America. We've had that random storm that hit Ireland last year.
That was weird.
Yeah. So I think research is being done and should be done on the nature of these storms. I wouldn't say categorically climate change is causing them to be stronger, but certainly some different paths and different
locations.
They're
behaving differently.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
yes.
They're, mm-hmm. they're acting a little different. If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking with Jeff Huffman. He's the director of the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network and the meteorologist who walked us through Hurricane Irma, if you remember. But we're talking about the 2019 hurricane season, which officially begins on June 1st. If you'd like to ask a question or have a comment, give us a call now. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So Hurricane Michael caused a ton of destruction up north in the Panhandle. Do you know how that part of the state's doing at this point?
Yeah, I just did some reporting up there earlier last week. There are parts of Bay County and Gulf County that, even though it's 7 months ago, it looks like nothing's been done. Okay, and I talked to the chief, the emergency manager, director there. Talked to some locals. It's literally a story of the haves and the have-nots. So those who have had insurance or had a means to get to restore their property have been able to recover. Corporations, franchises. There are some places of Panama City that look great. Mm-hmm. There's others that you can tell the people are really hurting. It's unbelievable. I've never seen damage like that. I've seen tornado damage. I was on the ground a couple of days after the Joplin tornado in 2011. So I've seen what an F4, F5 tornado looks like. And it looks similar to that, but for miles and miles. There was a 60-mile path of highway where the trees were like toothpicks. They were just all crossing each other, ripped off. And by the way, Panama City Beach, where the tourism is, mm-hmm. largely left alone. I was spending my time there for fun, but also spending my time over on the other side of the bay for work. And I was thinking of this part of the country, Julie, and how Irma hit a relatively, other than Marco Island, hit a less populated area down south of Naples, right?
Everglades City, yeah.
Right, and had weakened considerably. I don't want to, you know, diminish any of the pain and the sorrow from that storm, but I was thinking of this area and how much worse it could have been if the storm would have moved 30, 40 miles further west.
If it had gone out into the Gulf more?
Yeah, it stayed in the water a little more and then maybe come up toward Cape Coral or Fort Myers, or even worse, up towards Sarasota. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
A lot of people were pretty grateful that we dodged quite a bit. I mean, of course, there are those who did not dodge anything. The Everglades City really kind of got hit. But they have – I've been down there. They're doing pretty all right. A lot of people seem to have rebuilt. But, I mean, it's kind of weird because we just had Irma 2 seasons ago. But it feels kind of like it was 10 or 15 years ago sometimes, you know, when you think about it. Like, time gets really elastic.
Yeah.
It can be yesterday, or it can also be a very, very long time. It feels very distant in our memory. Do you feel like sometimes people in Florida get a case of hurricane amnesia and forget how serious they can be?
Yeah, and it's not just a Florida problem. It's just the human nature. One of my big topics this spring on speaking was the perception. I called it problematic perceptions, the perception of your risk. And that is highly dependent upon how much you have experienced personally or someone you love experienced personally from the storm. So remember that even in this market area, there could be a lot of people that won't prepare the same next time because they did not experience the worst of Irma. We want to be really cautious with that. To the same degree, there's people in Gulf and Bay counties that are going to freak out the first time they see a storm on the map, right? Because it's so fresh in their mind, they need to stay calm, right? And just watch what happens. So we have to have a very measured approach to preparing for hurricanes, both mentally and physically with our property and our home and stuff like that.
Getting your go bag ready to go
and
things like that. Let's listen back to a compilation of our coverage from that storm, from Hurricane Irma, which was a Category 4 hurricane when it first made landfall, and then it was Category 3 storm when it hit Marco Island.
From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. A mandatory evacuation order has been issued for portions of Sarasota County, including low-lying areas, barrier islands, and mobile homes. That includes Longboat Key.
The hurricane watch has been upgraded to a hurricane warning for coastal Charlotte, coastal Lee, coastal Sarasota, DeSoto, Hardy, Highlands, inland Charlotte, inland Lee, inland Manatee, and inland Sarasota.
Local emergency managers just completed a news conference at the Lee County Emergency Operations Center just moments ago with the latest on preparations for Hurricane Irma. WGCU's Quincy Walters was there.
The Lee County manager, Roger Desjardins, said this storm is unprecedented, and he said to expect a lot of property damage in Lee County when this is over, and he said...
WGCU's Rachel Iacovone is in the Collier County Emergency Operations Center, where authorities are monitoring the storm. She spoke with WGCU's Julie Glenn just moments ago.
So, Rachel, what's happening where you are?
So right now, it's a pretty fluid situation. They're trying to figure out where to open some new shelters. There was a list of 6 or 7 that have just been canceled as of 30 seconds ago. The storm surge predictions were off, so they're thinking that I'm at the EOC in Collier, and it's right next to Laley Elementary School, which is supposed to be a shelter. And you can see the line of cars from here, and people are being turned away, and they have to turn around and find another shelter, but many are at capacity.
From WGCU News, I'm Jessica Mazaros. As Hurricane Irma gets closer to Florida, a press conference was held at the Lee County Emergency Operations Center this morning. County Manager Roger Desjardins opened the press conference by expressing the magnitude of this hurricane.
This storm is unprecedented. There's going to be a lot of property damage in Lee County when this thing is over.
Desjardins says that Lee County has
the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's website says if you are hunkered down in your home during a hurricane, make sure to do the following. Take refuge in a small interior room, closet, or hallway on the lowest level during the storm. Put as many walls between you and the outside as you can. Maybe cover yourself with cushions or pillows. Stay away from
windows. The Collier County Emergency Operations Center says the shelter at Temple Shalom in Naples has reached capacity as of 5 minutes ago. There's a nearby shelter at Gulf Coast High School in North Naples that is open. The school has another 450 seats available in its auditorium. Since they are literal seats, the county advises those going to Gulf Coast High to leave behind the cots and
mattresses. Crews are shutting down their work around South Florida, and FPL's Juliet Rulock says that it's getting too dangerous for repairs.
Continues to worsen, we're not going to be able to have our crews out there. We need to get them to safety so they can be rested and available to immediately respond post-storm.
FPL says crews won't be able to restore power in any area that has winds above 35 miles per hour. Lee County residents were still evacuating their homes early this morning and finding safety from Hurricane Irma in local shelters. Douglas Lopez Perez, originally from Guatemala, evacuated his home in Bonita Springs to the Germain Arena in Estero.
Como vemos, pues, que ya se nos acerca la tormenta grande y solo Dios con nosotros.
He says that the major storm is getting close enough now that only God is with us. This has been continuing coverage during Hurricane Irma from WGCU.
This is WGCU News. I'm Julie Glenn. We have confirmed tropical storm force winds in Collier County, and we will be with you now nonstop on the air with additional support from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, which will bring us the latest information on the storm's movements from their teams of meteorologists. We have reporters stationed at the Collier and Lee County Emergency Operations Centers. They've been there since yesterday. First, let's check in with WGCU's Rachel Iacovone, who is in Collier County. Rachel, what's it like right now?
Hi, Julie. I'm looking out the window right now at the Collier Emergency Operations Center, and the palm trees are bending. The wind is picking up, and the rain is like bullets. They're advising us not to go outside. Some of the TV reporters have been stepping out for live shots, and that is no longer an option.
No longer an option because that wind is really whipping up, and it's kind of unpredictable.
Oh, absolutely. There are projectiles, there's palm fronds flying everywhere. It's just not safe anymore.
Have they given you any indication as to how fast these winds are blowing at this point?
Yeah, some of the staff members have been saying that they are registering at 115 miles per hour now here.
115 miles per hour. Okay, and you were able to capture some sound so we can hear what that sounds like. Let's have a listen to that now. How does that feel when you're hearing that?
Well, it's just crazy because we're all locked in this media room and, you know, we're all pressed against these windows and then the sound began. And that was 2 hours ago, just when it was the tropical storm force wind. So right now it's even louder.
At this time, everybody should have been evacuated by now, either at a shelter or hunkered down in their home. So we want to make sure that they're staying off the road to see if you can start the vehicle. And if not, it's probably at a loss.
Probably make sure it's completely dried out before you try to fire it up and see what happens.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, AAA's Monterey Waiters. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
No, thank you. Stay safe.
Now let's go to WGCU's Jessica Mazaros, who talked with our chief engineer about the status of our Marco Island transmitter, where there are many without power, possibly relying on our broadcast for updates.
From WGCU News, I'm Jessica Mazaros. I'm here with WGCU's chief engineer, Kevin Trueblood. He has some important information regarding our transmitter on Marco Island, which is 91.7 FM. Hey, Kevin, what's going on in light of Hurricane Irma's approach to Southwest Florida?
Well, we're seeing some of that storm surge really impacting southern Collier County, and in particular, looking
if you have questions that you would like to ask of the Florida Emergency Information Line, that number is 1-800-342-3557. That is a statewide emergency hotline. If you have questions that you would like to get answers to, that number once again is 800-342-3557. Again, a reminder, EMS and emergency responders are not going out on the road right now. So if you do have an emergency, 911 lines are open, but you will be put in a queue, which will be responded to when emergency workers are able to get back out on the road. Although 911 operators are highly trained and able to help advise through emergencies that you may be experiencing when help is unable to get to you. This has been continuing coverage during Hurricane Irma from WGCU. We encourage you to share with us your photos or videos on social media, on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. You can also find links to your county's Emergency Operations Center website by checking WGCUnews.org. Those county Emergency Operations Center websites will have the very latest direct from your county. Stay tuned to WGCU as we are here providing continuous coverage throughout the storm. Let's check back
and
in.
Now we are going to take things to Rachel Iacovone, who is down in Collier County, where we are told that the eye is currently about to pass. Rachel, can you feel anything different?
Hey, Julie. Yeah, so right now I'm looking at the parking lot filled with water and trees are falling everywhere, but things are actually slowing down a little bit. As you were saying, the eye is approaching and you can tell. We just went through the eye wall, which was like the strongest band that we have had yet. And now the palm trees are not bending as much and there's not any fronds falling over. The pines already fallen, most of them.
And where you're at is the Lely Resort area, correct?
Yes, so this place had been evacuated because of the flood risk. Right now I'm looking at probably 6 inches of water in the lot, and we have this pond that's formed, and right now I'm watching the water collect. It is drying up, and it seems like the sun is coming up, so we are coming to the eye right now.
Oh, the eye is passing right now?
Yep.
How weird is it to see sun coming through after such a violent storm like that? Does it give you a better view of what's happened outside?
Yeah, the windows are starting to fog up because we're getting some of that heat. Like I said, it's been kind of cold. And so this kind of a pressure change, a temperature change I'm seeing right now, and definitely a brightness change. We were all talking about how it's been odd all day, how bright it's been despite all the wind and the rain. But now as we've gotten into the center of the hurricane and more of that, you know, eye wall, it's been dark. It's been like we have been inside a tornado for a while now. And here it is suddenly brightened up. It's like a light gray outside, and you would think we're in a spring storm.
Like a summer storm just went through. It's kind of like you forgot what Florida sunshine was during all of that.
Right.
Well, it's been really interesting talking with you, Rachel. I really appreciate the first-person update on what it feels like when that eye goes over. Thank you so much for that report, and we will continue to get reports from you.
Again, you're listening
evening.
To WGCU with continuous coverage of Hurricane Irma, and with reporters stationed in both Lee and Collier County's emergency operations centers and our team here at the station on FGCU campus. We are working with the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network to bring you the latest on this storm. And at this point, I would like to go to Colorado, which may sound odd, but that is where we find Wayne Saliday, who is a 30-plus year veteran of emergency management services here in Southwest Florida, very familiar with hurricanes. The last one he saw was Hurricane Charlie, who we all remember, although he is very small by comparison to Hurricane Irma. Wayne, thank you for coming back on the show. Are you looking at the radar right now? Are you seeing where that eye is?
I am.
It seems to have passed right. Marco?
Right. It's coming into Naples. The first the north edge of the eye of the inner eye wall is coming over Naples and continuing on a northerly track.
So at this point, we have people in Marco Island who have no power. Are they in the eye right now, or are they experiencing the second side?
No, it has passed them. They are out of the eye, and the eye is now right up near Naples. The eye is over 20 miles wide, and of course, Marco's 20 miles south of Naples. So. Yeah, they're just coming out of the eye.
Listening to continuing coverage of Hurricane Irma as the storm moves up through Southwest Florida. Currently, the eye is moving past southern Lee County. Next on her track northward is Irma hitting Charlotte County, but with a bit less of a wallop thanks to a degrading center, now a Category 2, as we just heard. Joining us now from Charlotte County Emergency Management Center is the Charlotte County Emergency Management Coordinator, Patrick Fuller. So what is your current plan up in Charlotte County? Now you seem to be looking at a bit of a different storm than we expected earlier in the day.
Yes, the 5 o'clock advisory from National Hurricane Center was actually far improved from what we've been seeing the last 48 hours.
And we're going to continue to work 24-7 around the clock to get the job done to make sure Lee County's up and running again as soon as possible.
Thank you for all you're doing and all your department's doing to help keep us safe.
No problem. Have a great day.
You too.
That was Lee County Sheriff's Office Lieutenant James Drismala speaking with WGCU's John Davis this afternoon. As massive Hurricane Irma batters Florida on a path up the Gulf Coast, Governor Rick Scott today advised residents against rushing out once the storm appears.
And finally, if the eye of the storm passes over your area, there will be a short period of calm. But at the other side of the eye, the wind speed rapidly increases to hurricane force winds coming from the opposite direction. And just a reminder that we will have an update from WGCU's Quincy Walters soon coming up here. He's at the Lee County Emergency Operations
Center.
Tell us
where you've been today. What are you seeing?
Right now, I'm standing in right on the outskirts of the parking lot of the Germain Arena in Estero, and in the grass where some cars were parked because the parking lot was so full they had to park here in the grass. And two trees toppled over three cars here. It doesn't look like a significant damage to the cars, but they are on top of them and probably trapping them under there. There's significant flooding. Myself, I had to park out in the front of probably half a mile out in front of the Germain Arena, and then with my rain boots wade through water and talk to people whose cars were getting stuck as they were trying to leave here.
Everyone is seems to be happy to be getting out, but they are having they're struggling to get back home and trying to figure out how what they should do next.
No, you're not having a flashback to the fall of 2017. We're just listening back to what we went through here in Southwest Florida during Hurricane Irma in hopes of reminding everyone how serious things got and how important being well prepared actually is. I'm in the studio with meteorologist Jeff Huffman from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, upon whom we depended for quite a bit of time, many, many hours spent. What does it feel like listening back to that?
Well, yeah, it brought back lots of memories, a little more from the meteorological side of the storm. I heard one mention of the storm surge prediction didn't come true in some areas. And I guess if you look at it as an explicit prediction, that would be the case because of the storm's track. But Julie, you have to go up to Mexico Beach and look what the 9 to 14 foot storm surge did there. I mean, it wiped hundreds of structures off their foundation. And it was possible something like that would have happened in areas like Cape Coral or even Fort Myers Beach if the storm would have been further west. Remember, that's a probability. It's not really a prediction. It's a map that says there's a high enough probability that these storm surge numbers will occur in this area. It's a high enough probability that the officials believe you need to get out. That probability number is really low. That's called a 10% exceedance, right? Mm-hmm. We put our seatbelt on every day because there's a chance that we could be in a serious accident. The chance, by the way, in your lifetime of getting injured from a serious accident is less than 1%. So every time you get in your car, it's less than 1%.
Those are some interesting statistics to speak to.
So you have to remember that it's not necessarily a prediction. It's a probability matrix, almost, if you will. And whenever there's a higher than whatever percent chance of that type of storm surge occurring, if you're in an evacuation zone, if you're in a low-lying area, you got to get out. And I hope residents all up and down your coast and near the coast and even near the rivers, remember that the next time there's a storm sitting out there like Irma, because remember, it took a 30-mile wobble is all it was to the east at the last minute.
Which saved a lot of people, but it wasn't enough to save, for example, the woman that I talked with in Everglades City who went back to where her home was and found the steps to her home.
Yeah.
And no home.
Water is very powerful.
I mean, there's nothing there. She couldn't find it. Yeah. I mean, there was not even a trace, just her concrete stairs.
Saw lots of that in Bay and Gulf counties up in the Panhandle. Remember, the storm surge is not just water that's rising. It's violent water being driven by all the wind and waves, and it's very powerful.
Yeah, storm surge it's not like just slowly seeping in.
Correct.
Small flood. Do you think people take precaution efforts seriously enough?
I think it depends on your perception of your risk.
Yeah, like you said.
And you know what's challenging is we can't do anything about that. No matter how much we talk about it, if we talked about it every minute of every day on this station, some people just don't perceive the risk like others do.
Well, when we were going through Irma, the hand crank and battery-operated radios became pretty valuable for keeping people informed because there were a lot of power outages, and we did manage to stay on the air.
Yeah, radio is the most proven, the most durable, most reliable form of communication. And in fact, in Bay County, it's what some of the emergency managers use. They used our public radio network to get information out to certain people. And that's we encourage everybody to have at least a way of receiving information via the radio. And don't believe that you can always get in your car. Now, we had a lot of people up in Panama City tell me they got in their car to listen to the radio because that was the only thing they could find that they could communicate with. But you never know if the car is going to be damaged or flooded. So just remember that those battery-powered radios, even though you may never need it the rest of your life, you're going to be really happy you spent the $20, $30 to buy one and to keep it to handy.
Yes, it's good information to have. But onto the technology side, tell me a little bit about the FPRIN app, Florida Public Radio. We call it FPRIN for short,
yes,
because saying Florida Public Radio Emergency Network gets long after a while. But tell me about that app for phones.
Yeah, thanks for explaining that. We are actually going to be updating it by June. And it's an app that's not only a weather app, because it does have your typical weather information, has lightning alerting, storm tracking, warnings and stuff, official information. Has also a section for emergency management and for which basically, it'll let you know what evacuation zone you're in, where your evacuation routes are, and if you're in a dire need. And we saw this during Irma and Michael. It tells you where the open shelters are and navigates you to an open shelter if you really need it. So, you know, it's a good app to have. It may not be the app of your choice for weather, just daily weather information, but we certainly encourage you to have it for critical emergency weather information.
I remember I asked you last time which weather app you checked. Well, definitely that one, because it has the fastest radar.
It does have a very fast loading radar.
That's the most annoying thing, is waiting for the radar to load.
mode on any weather app, but that one is definitely a lot quicker. And in other forms of technology, one of the things that was kind of cool during that storm that I remember you talking about, Irma, was the number of people who are watching on Facebook, because we're radio, but you also are doing Facebook video with visuals of, I mean, with the whole weather map.
Yeah, and it's the same audio you hear on the radio you can sometimes see on Facebook at different times during our coverage. And
you had how many people listening or tuned in?
During Irma, one video over like 1.6 million. I mean, it was not at the same time, but, you know, with our partnership with NPR, of course. And it's a great way for listeners and viewers to ask questions. It really makes us feel good to see other viewers or listeners helping each other. You know, someone may ask a question in the comments. We can't always get to every question, but someone else will answer them, you know. In most
like a
cases,
hive mind.
Yeah, in most cases, they police themselves, you know, and it works out great. We really appreciate that connection over Facebook Live.
It is a good connection. It also helps connect people who don't live here full time.
Yes.
That and usually the time that they're not here is during hurricane season, during the summer, so they can keep an eye on what's going on, where their house is, and things like that. We have a call coming in from Victor in Fort Myers. Victor, what would you like to say?
Thanks for rehashing the past, although I think it was a little too long. It actually brought some reaction back, but that's because you guys did such great coverage. But my main thing is just I'm a homeowner. We're still having our home repaired from damage due to Hurricane Irma. And I'm a driver for a living, so that's what I do. And I see blue tarps still out there. So there's definitely reminders of Hurricane Irma out there. And like I said, I just got my roof put on 6 weeks ago.
Well, congratulations on that.
On the property. Yes, and that's after really pushing the insurance company and having to call several government agencies to say, look, I hate to use this word on the air, but the insurance company screwed us. And they kept doing it.
Well, yeah,
and, I still see people.
I got to say, I had a similar experience. It took forever, and you have to call. The squeaky wheel doesn't even get the grease. It gets maybe like a drop or two. I mean, it was tough. It was quite a learning curve for a lot of us. And we were talking while that audio was playing, Jeff and I, about whether I had home damage. A lot of us did. And even if you weren't right there during the storm surge, a lot of roofs were severely impacted. But I'm happy to hear that you got yours on finally.
Finally, but I do want to give you guys kudos because we tuned into you. We tried tuning into the other radio stations, but we stayed tuned to you, and we had battery backups and everything for our phones. And when the radio finally died, we threw new batteries in it. So kudos to you guys for the coverage that you did because of you, we emotionally and physically survived the storm.
Well, great. I'm glad that we were here for you, and we'll be here forever. That's what we do.
Forever.
You can count on it. Thank you so much for the compliment, Victor, and congratulations again on your roof.
Thank you.
So that was a nice compliment.
Yeah.
I might cry a little bit.
Well, it's not easy. I don't know what it personally is like to have to deal with the insurance agencies after a storm like this.
It's not fun.
No, I know. So there's so many things you can check on, though, now. Not saying that, you know, Victor probably did everything he needed to do, but, you know, you have to think about it. It needs to be muscle memory. You have to almost rehearse it with your family. What are we going to do when we see it 5 days, when we see it 3 days? Who are we going to listen to? What app are we going to trust? Where's our radio?
And also, I am going to be checking up on my insurance situation.
Yeah, please do.
Because with flood insurance, you have to have it 30 days, I think, in advance of the actual flood incident.
That was one thing really difficult to hear in Panama City. A lot of structures had wind and flood damage, and it's very difficult for insurance agents sometimes to determine the cause of loss in different parts of the home. And sometimes, yeah, it's just really eye-opening. You have to make sure you're fully covered for flood and wind damage.
And I know you know the countdown. How many days till hurricane
19,
season starts?
19. But remember, the last 4 years, we've had a storm in May somewhere. So we need to – it's time to start watching. You
start
know?
Keeping an eye on it.
Yep.
Well, Jeff, I really appreciate all of your help getting us through the last storm and the entire state and now South Carolina and your entire team. You guys are just really awesome.
Well, thank you, Julie. I mean, we, of course, work with you and your team. And it takes a village here to get through a storm. We really appreciate the invite today.
It sure does. Well, when we return, we are joined by the owner of a local tree care company to get some tips on preparing our yards for the upcoming hurricane season. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.